ながれてた。Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 256. It's like VGA. It's August 24th, 2020. Where did you get a ring fit, Brian? Let me see that.
I'm so tired right now.
Yeah.
No, you haven't seen the ring fit?
No, I've seen them, but they're out of stock all the time. Nobody can ever keep these in stock anywhere.
They are out of stock all the time, and GameStop sent me a message saying, hey, that cool thing you wanted's in. I'm like, yeah. They had one. Yeah. One.
They make you sign up for 10 years of Game Informer to get it?
No, but I do anyway. A yearly subscription.
I heard that was going away. Didn't that some announcement? They're firing everybody or something? Layoffs?
Right. I think definitely the print version's going. I'm not sure if they're firing everybody. They're like restructuring maybe. Amen. But yeah, I always love the magazines, but let's be honest. I don't read them.
Well, I would if I still got it, I guess, because I do like a good gaming magazine, but I haven't got one in a long time. Let's take a look here. All right. According to this news... Yeah, there was the letter-in-chief is not there anymore, and they're letting people go.
The letter-in-chief.
Ooh, but they are talking about a new NHL game, which I always like that, because I like NHL games a lot. Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know as a video game hockey fan, did you know that?
I did, especially from this morning when we just did, Battle Royale. We talked about the ice hockey from the NES.
Yeah, well, I've been a fan of hockey games since there were hockey games, so...
And Dreadnix, who won, spoiler, if you ever listened to the most recent episode, one is in the chat room.
Oh, he is he? Well, we'll see about
that.
We'll see about that. All right, time for this. Before we get too far, I have a question for you. All right?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Here it is. If you were given a choice, here's the choice.
No, oh, I love choices. Now, wait. Now, this is a choice or is it an ultimatum?
It's a choice. It's for a real choice. Well, I mean, all choices have some built-in ultimatum qualities or, you know, properties, let's call them. So here's your choice with some ultimatum properties. Would you, if you could choose which one to live in, which world to live in, would you rather have a world where all AAA titles knock it out of the park and are amazing? Every major video game release, $59 video game, is all it could have been and more. They're all amazing. They're all 10 out of 10. Every single one of those.
So they would truly be earning their AAA title.
Correct. They exceed your expectations in every case. They never don't do that. Okay. So that's world number one.
Wow. This is I'm like, well, I got to really use my imagination here. Wait a minute.
Well, I didn't tell you all of it.
Okay. Okay.
In that same world, there's no indie games at all. Nothing small.
What?
No small games.
Right.
All it is great big AAA big studio releases. That's it. Mm. But they're all amazing. They're all incredible. They all kill it. But that's all there is. No indies, no small games, no $15 games, no Steam library that's huge because you got all this extra stuff. It's just the big player games. Or would you rather live in a world where it's all indies, all small teams, all smaller experiences.
So no AAA
games.
Ooh.
How would you feel about that? Which way would you
go? Okay, so I'm going to draw a parallel to something that happened in my lifetime.
Oh,
all right. There was a time when Disney pretty much was the only animation game on the block.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were knocking it out of the park every time.
Sure. For a long time, that was true.
Yeah, those small indie companies were still there. You just didn't. It was just, you know, why would you? Because Disney was just doing such a great job.
Sure.
So I'm gonna say, I don't like that idea. I like the idea of the indies.
You like the idea of the indies. This is how I land on it too. If you're asking me, of those two worlds, which would I like more?
Right.
I would go the indie route, and I would actually do this in a lot of ways, not just video games. I feel this way about comic books.
Yes.
I feel like a world without indie comics is not a world I want to live in. If comics were nothing but Avengers, Justice League, freaking Spider-Man, Batman. Like, if that's all it ever was, and there's nothing wrong with those, and you know, I'm not besmirching any of that. You and I are both currently hooked on a Hulk title that blew our minds and is really good.
Immortal Hulk.
Yeah, Immortal Hulk's really good. But so I'm not bashing on that, but those are, that's your AAA comparison.
Right.
And then no indie comics, that would really blow. So if you're giving me a choice, I'd probably rather live in a world where independent comics get made. Obviously, neither of these scenarios in any kind of media makes sense, because what is an indie comic without mainstream stuff? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have the mainstream, you don't have the thing to compare it to.
I mean,
so
where do you go? I mean, if you never can graduate to the triple A's, but I'm with you. It's like, it almost feels like that in some ways though, because I mean, we've seen so many triple A titles stumble out of the gate in the last couple of years that indie games have really, you know, just it's, to me, it's been where it's at.
Yeah. It's my favorite place to be. It's the whole reason this show exists. And, Kinlan in the chat room says, wasn't everything indie at one point in time? Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
right. Well,
Bob Camp sitting around talking to his buddy about making Batman. That didn't start at a big giant multi-mega-million-dollar corporation. That started with a dude.
Of course we have stuff like that, though. I mean, we do have things that are big. I mean, it started out big, right?
Well, you could Deadpool, another comic example, came out of Marvel, came out of Rob Liefeld at a time before Image. That was mainstream Marvel. Like that came out of a big machine. McFarlane coming up with Venom out of the Spider-Man series he did. That's another iconic character that's carried on and done really well for them that came out of the machine. So absolutely that's true. But in video games in particular, every single case I can think of where EA gets their start or Activision gets their start, Atari gets their, whoever it is that gets their start, before they were mega billion-dollar companies, Nintendo and everyone else had to start someplace.
Right.
And then succeed on a small thing. And then succeed on another thing.
None of these were Spice Girls or NSYNC or anybody that was prepackaged.
Right. And I think there's something to that. But it's a fun brain exercise you can play with your friends.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than the tired old, what games did you take to a deserted island?
Yeah, I'm sick of those. Because the answer is always,
I'm sick of you trying to put me on an island. Stop it.
Well, I may have actually a couple today that I would recommend for that island, but we'll get to that in a minute. Also, I just want to make a quick note that Factorio and Littlewood, two games I've talked about on the show before, speaking of small indie games that are pretty rad, they both came out of early access. So you can get them now in their full blown glory. If you already own them, go update them and play them. Factorio, I think actually both games have a overwhelmingly positive review right now. I would highly recommend both those games. Very different games. They're not the same by any stretch, but it is, they're,
I mean, am I going to have to choose between Satisfactory and
Factorio? Yeah, but you might, here's the scary thing about that. I have both, played both quite a bit. I think I might fall on the Factorio side.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Satisfactory is amazing, but there's a simplicity to Factorio where you just get to the meat of the point of the thing.
Right.
Whereas when you take it into 3D and create a giant first person world in a Satisfactory, it's an amazing game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. There's no end game in Satisfactory, I think, is the main complaint I've heard. There's no real, you know, get to it.
Yeah.
You always feel like you're just ready to tear everything down and start over.
Yeah. I would say that's true. I mean, that's kind of true of freaking Factorio as well. I mean, you just want to dominate everything and own everything, and that's okay as an end game. I don't mind that, but I just find it, I can't explain it. It's kind of like, would I rather play Diablo in a three-quarter view in the way that it's currently presented, or do I want them to go with like a behind the back third person dungeon crawler? I don't think I want that former. I don't want the latter. I want the former. Because the former is just like, I don't know, there's a simplicity to this top-down view. It's not just that view, but there's other reasons. But that's how I feel about Factorio and Satisfactory. There's just something about that simple presentation that lends itself to getting to the gameplay quicker and getting past all of the minutiae of you're in a 3D world and you're moving around and you got to run. And like, there's less of that in Factorio. But either way, those games are both out of there. It's rad, or they're both rad, so I recommend playing them. All right, my first game of the week is one I'm also going to recommend. And I think people should play this game because it's
Better get your wallets ready. Scott's already recommended four games.
I kind of made
early
recommendations. This game is called Pop-Up Dungeon. It is currently on Steam, nowhere else, but I assume it's coming to other places. But as it is currently constituted, it is a Steam property. It's from a Kickstarter from a while ago now, where the promise of it was, hey, what if we made an RPG that everything looked like paper and cardboard and kind of homemade sort of looking stuff. And they really go for that aesthetic and succeed quite well at it, I think. The characters that talk to you are glued to popsicle sticks. Q from Star Trek is the voice of the main bad guy that you're trying to fight. Yeah, it's pretty good. The worlds themselves, fully 3D realized. Everything's like little paper characters sitting on top of little plastic bases. And you move them around kind of XCOM style. It's a turn-based RPG in that vein. There's a lot of D&D stuff here. There's a lot of humor as well. It's all trying to be super referential.
I'm looking at the bars even on popsicle sticks. So like the mana bars are on popsicle sticks.
Yeah, everything is like it's... And the way the art styles work too is like one art style of the rat you're going to fight will look totally different than the art style of the bat you're going to fight because it's kind of like this mishmash of, hey, if you were doing this on your table, you would use all this stuff. You might even put like one of your mom's figurines that she collects in there to fight or whatever. Like it's kind of got that feeling to it. What really sets it apart though, I so far the single player sort of campaign mode is great. I'm loving it, having a great time. It's a great value on that alone. But what really sets it apart is that it lets players create any weapon, any ability, any enemy, any character they can imagine. You can make anything in this game. And it's a papercraft version of an old turn-based RPG tabletop game in the vein of, you know, I mean, kind of Final Fantasy Tactics slash, as I mentioned before, kind of XCOM sort of.
Right.
And it's not so much Twitch-based, obviously, like, you know, you don't need to be quick with the buttons or whatever. They all have these hilarious voices, the different characters, the dwarf is super dwarfy and
super dwarf,
all those kind of things. Somebody's already made a He-Man character because you can go and make all your own art for all your own characters if you want. I'm thinking about taking our D&D game and making characters for everybody and then
fun.
Yeah. Maybe recreate a couple of iconic battles or something. You can create your own battle setups, your own dungeons, your own, win situations. You can create your own bosses, what their abilities are, what they do, how they do it. Just like a big playground.
Yeah, like a big old sandbox of play. Yeah,
big time. And the paper aesthetic really works for me. I really like it. I think it's great. My first impression when I started playing it was, so this is, going to be light. You know, like this can just be loose and breezy and not really a big challenge. Turns out that is not the case. The fights are sometimes brutal, and you got to think of things like stuff that's in your way. There might be a little piece of furniture you got to move or blow up before you can get to the enemy, or this guy's got range, but he can't shoot through these, or this other guy is resistant to whatever, fire spell you're trying to cast at him. And it's got all those complexities you expect from an RPG, especially a sort of a team-based version of an RPG. Your abilities are represented by cards, although it's not really a deck builder at all. It's just, hey, I'll play this card, and that's an ability this dude will cast, and that's kind of as far as the card stuff goes.
But they kind of look like Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, they do. They look like Hearthstone cards or something, yeah. But they're really just, it's almost like, they're basically ability buttons.
Yeah.
And your different guys will always have certain abilities. You can unlock abilities later on and have more cards in your hand and that sort of thing.
Pop-up dungeon. I like.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. Apparently, it's been forever since the Kickstarter, and so a lot of people are like wondering when this thing was going to happen. But it finally did, and I am happy to report. I think this is great. It speaks to me on lots of levels. I love this like tactical papery thing that they got going, and the interface and UI is all very. I don't know. It's all very tactile. Like I just want to touch it all and rotate it and pick it up and drop it down. Like there's a real, like this is a real
flip
paper
it up,
thing.
Drop it down.
Yeah. All those things.
Yeah.
It's neat. and would recommend it. Even at the current price, it went up a little bit. When I bought it, it was at launch at $19.99. It is currently $24.99, so they did one of those launch sales.
Yeah.
If you didn't get it then, you're not going to get quite as good a deal. But
and you say this was a Kickstarter?
It was originally.
Originally?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Do we know these developers? Have we seen anything from these guys before?
I don't know. I could, you know what? I probably could have checked and see if they had anything else.
Developers, Triple B Titles. Publisher is Humble Games.
Yeah, it was Humble.
Humble Bundle.
Humble Bundle. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Ring. They got something called Ring Runner, Fight of the Sages, which I don't know what that is. That came out in 2013. Looks like a very not Infinite like Runner? This game. It's like some outer space thing.
Oh.
Can't tell quite what's going on. Ring Runner combines fast-paced action of space combat with a rich story and skill variety of an RPG. Trek across the universe in a 30-hour-long story-driven campaign. It did okay. It was popular enough to get some reviews. But this is currently, let's see, we're at very positive reviews currently.
How do you play multiplayer on this? Is it local co-op? How does it work exactly? Is there any co-op at all?
Yes, there's co-op. It's shared split screen co-op. So that's why I think it's coming to consoles, because that's obviously a place where you do that sort of thing more often than PCs.
Right.
But as it currently stands, no online co-op or any kind of matchmaking in that regard. However, there is all the online sharing of everything. So, you know, actually playing on each other's boards, you're not doing that. Together, you're not doing that. But you are going like, hey, I just made this scenario. I'm sending it to my friend Bo. Now he can just run it.
My friend Bo.
And there's already penises. People are making penises. You know,
what?
Like,
okay. Okay, people, super, settle down.
It's super creative. It gives you all the tools to make stuff. So, of course, you know.
Does this have the Steam co-op thing where you can play locally with somebody, or do you know? You know what I'm talking about?
It says shared split screen co-op. It doesn't say
what is it? What do they call it? I've already forgotten. Their Steam has a very specific name for
remote,
the local.
Is it remote play together? Is that one?
Remote play together. That's
yeah,
it.
It does support that. It says.
Oh, then that's perfect. That's all I needed to know. It's right there. So yes, you can play.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hearing John Delancey vamp is fun. It's hard to explain why this appeals to me so much. I really think it's mostly the aesthetic and the fact that they didn't just rely on that there's an actual game under the hood and that's right. Good.
If I saw this, first thing I would think is I bet Scott would love this.
Oh, it's so cool, dude. It's just up my cheese, this game. Just up right up cheese. Right
you just
up
got
my
through
cheese.
Playing. Are you still playing Paper Mario? Are you still playing that?
Oh, yeah. Here and there. Although I got distracted by a thing I'll tell you about later. But the Switch has been my go-to when I'm not in front of my PC. And been playing Paper Mario. I'll just tell you now. I've been playing because they had 30% off of Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yes.
And that's crazy because Nintendo never discounts their own games that much. So I thought, what? I'm going to grab it. Everybody raved about it, but I wasn't really a huge fan of the first one. Didn't play the 3DS game sequel. So I don't know what I thought about that. Man, what a delightful, rad game Luigi's Mansion is. Three is amazing. The production value alone is miles ahead of those other ones. It looks so good.
So much fun.
So recommended. I'm not going to do full review of it here or anything, but Luigi's Mansion 3 for 30% off. I don't know if that sale's still going. If it is, that is a steal at that.
It is. I've got two run throughs on it so far. Luigi's Mansion 3. Have you done any of the DLC or the content for?
Nope. Still in the main story. Still in the main story right now. So I haven't.
It's great.
And I'm spending a lot of time in every room, like vacuuming every damn thing I can.
Yeah,
because I love that. I love doing that. I love clearing out of space.
I love that game loop. Yeah. It is something that is satisfying to me to walk around as Luigi vacuuming everything up and coins and dollars flying out of, haunted pictures and lights and everything. It's just,
it's so much fun. It's really impressive, that game. But anyway, one final reminder on the name. Pop-Up Dungeon is the name of this game. It's on Steam. Currently available. Came out on the 12th, by the way, so it's been out for a little bit. And I fell in love with it. It's very good. You guys should check it out. Creation tools alone are probably worth the price of admission if you're into that sort of stuff. So if you want to find out what other people are making.
Yeah, I'm getting this. I don't know. I'll probably look after the show to make sure it's not coming to any other platforms. Make sure that I definitely want to get on the PC. and then I'm going to move on from that because this is definitely something that's going to be in my collection.
Oh, you know what? I meant to see if it had controller support. I think it does, actually. Hold on. Just
love those.
I know, those little icons and the little box you bring with all your little shit in there. It's so good.
Yeah.
Icons. There's like a dice. A little
shit in there like that.
There's a D20 that you got to roll sometimes to kind of roll what character you're going to meet. Because sometimes the encounters happen off out of the grid in this little story mode. And so you got to like make a choice and then you roll a dice to see how you did. So there's a lot of D&D in there in all the right ways. Here we go. It is currently... Does not say controller support, but it does have remote play together, which has a controller icon. So I don't know.
Right. Is it a half controller or is it a full controller?
It's not even that. It's not even that icon. It's just.
I wouldn't think you'd be able to play remote play together without doing it through controller.
Yeah, like what else are you going to do?
I've never played. How about this? I've never played any of the remote play that was not controller based.
Well, here, I'm putting up on screen for the chat and they can see all the stuff. Single player, shared split screen. Steam achievements, Steam trading cards, Steam Workshop includes level editor and remote play together. And the remote play together has a controller on it. So I don't know what that
means. Right. But then also has a Wi-Fi symbol. But, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know what it, I mean, that's just their icon. And it's probably bad iconography is what's happening there.
Right.
Most anyway, worth the money, everybody. I'm going to recommend it. All right, Brian, tell me all about your time in a game I've also played a bunch, but I'm glad you're the one that's headlining it here. Fall Guys. What do you think of Fall Guys?
Well, I love Fall Guys. If you haven't seen Fall Guys, it is an elimination game where you start out with 60 Weeble characters. If you know what Weebles are, congratulations, you're old. If not, they're just a fun, bouncy kind of guys. Gang Beast, I think. What was the name of the game? There's a couple of the games that had these same... ragdoll kind of characters.
Gang Beast. Yeah, that was a Gang Beast? Similar kind of deal, I think.
Right. So Fall Guys convinced me to finally re-up my PlayStation Plus. My PlayStation Plus has been sitting here quietly and very cold until I saw this and I saw everybody was playing. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, free if you're, well, not free, but if you're a PlayStation Plus sub, you get it.
It's part of the deal. It's part of the PlayStation Plus package right now. I went ahead and signed up for just 1 month in case Fall Guys sucked. Guess what? It didn't. It's kind of like you're like these little Weeble guys in this elimination game where you're trying to go from one point to the other point in most of the games. The games are randomized. And you have to usually go against 60 people starting the first round. And as you go along, there's an elimination each round. As you can see, if you're watching this on the screen, it is a lot of fun, and there are a lot of choices for your avatar. So I was a little worried about it at first. It's like 60 characters, and I'm like, what's their deal here? Are they gonna like really push me to like to really buy costuming and all that, you know, additional services? I'm like, I'm like a clone. You don't. There's so many that you start with. There was like you just have this different characters you can choose from, different looks you can choose. Mm-hmm. And as you play, you earn, I'm trying to remember what the point system is called. Basically, the idea is that you are on some type of Wipeout kind of game. You know what Wipeout
is? Yeah, like Wipeout, the game show game, not the
right. Some people might call it like American Ninja. You're not American Ninja Warrior. You're not really playing to that level. But you are, you know, doing a lot of platforming.
You're getting worked in this. I'm sorry. This is you playing, right? Is this you?
Yeah, this is me playing. Yeah. This is me playing. I got my little wolf guy. And I was that's the fun thing about this game is you'll get into these mixers and you'll get in a place where you're just trying to make it. And it seems like everything's against you. It's like you're just constantly getting hit in the back.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating fun, though.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. You don't take it too serious.
I've probably played, I don't know, 20 matches or something. I've yet to win. I've yet to get to the very end, but I've gotten to the final round and then eliminated. It's ridiculous. And it's so much fun that, this comes with a full, you know, this is like full endorsement. It's really good. I paid for it, though.
Oh, absolutely. It's also on Steam, I think, for $20 or something like that.
$17.
Yeah, it might be 10% off, I think.
I got it for a little less than $20, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I got my PlayStation Pro. So I always try to, anytime I get a chance to put a game on there, I'm like, yeah, do it. Yeah. Because, you know, it's good hardware. And so I did actually make it to the end several times, even though you wouldn't be able to tell it from this fall, guys.
Yeah. Is this your first time through in the game?
Yeah, this is my first actual run. The one you're watching right now is my first actual run. Watch this jerk.
Yeah,
Watch this jerk.
This is the thing people love doing. It's this griefing thing where they'll wait till you're done.
Yeah.
And they know you're the last guy, and they'll just hang there. And he probably got there second or third. He's just a dick. That's how
they
work.
Yeah, he's just a dick. Yeah. Well, I kind of thought, like, what a dick. And then I also thought, well, I kind of get it, too. Because if you don't win, if you're eliminated, then you can either exit out and find a new match of 60 people, or you can stay around and you can follow different players. And I didn't realize it at first. So I was following around different players.
Yeah.
And if you finish first, you have to wait and watch a bunch of people. If you don't cross the finish line, then you can just kind of turn around and just look.
Yep.
You know, you can kind of just hang out.
Yep. You're waiting for the last guy to die or do whatever he's going to do. It's just griefy. They're just trying to piss you off. That's all it is.
It is.
Oh, I hate this memory game. I hate it.
Yeah. The next one is a memory game. And like I said, these are all randomly generated. You'll have at the beginning, you'll have different games that pop up in the first, second, and third rounds. And this is one of the ones that I kind of hate and kind of like at the same time. It's a memory game. They'll give you peeks of what the floor is going to look like. And it'll be like a fruit of different types, bananas, oranges, cherries, peaches. And then on a large screen, it'll pick it.
Yeah.
And then some of the tiles will fall away and everybody has to try to get back to the memory.
Yeah.
The whatever fruit showed up. And so it's a little bit of stress to it because you got to have memory and then you got to not get pushed off. By the way, in Fall Guys, there's a lot of room for griefing, and I didn't experience a lot of it. I'm very glad of that. I don't know how the Steam
it's the same because the communities are they're together. So you're
okay. That's what I was curious. Yeah. Is it like crossplay? Kind of.
It's totally crossplay. Yeah. The player base.
Right. So the Fall Guys. So like you can pull people, and I actually had this happen. You can grab a hold of people. I've had places where I'm like trying to climb up a certain area. And I'm like, why am I dragging all of a sudden? And it's because somebody's grabbed onto you and is holding. And it's like, what benefit is it that you're like grabbing a hold of me right now? I don't know. But there's an area for griefing, but it seems like most people are pretty cool. Oh, by the way, you just saw one of the worst things that can possibly happen.
What's that?
And that's if you're playing a level where only one person gets disqualified.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause then you got to continue on. And the worst thing is there's a mini game where I take it back. It was the second to last race and you got to run up these pipes. And here's another griefing option. You can get on top of that pipe and basically you just stand up there like freaking pro wrestler and keep people from going up through there. And so he just stands there and just keeps grabbing while you're coming. You can overwhelm him if you work together with somebody. But if it's just you, he's got the upper ground and you're screwed. And it sucks. So they're addressing some of this stuff, by the way, in future patches. They don't want it to be a grief simulator or any of that stuff.
Yes.
This egg thing is also a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I exited that show because I was not.
Yeah. But it's got kind of a combination of, you know, it's like Battle Royale meets Mario Party minigame meets.
Oh, that's a good comparison. Yeah. The Mario Party games. Yeah. Fall Guys.
The whole thing, the sound of it. And here, I'll play some of this. Listen to this. Because it sounds. This may as well be a Sega Dreamcast game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just all doo 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 beep beep boop doo doo doo. Like it's just like I'm between levels on a Sonic game or something. It's crazy.
It definitely feels like a game show the whole time you're playing. This is Mediatonic is the developer and Devolver Digital who puts out some of the greatest indie games, in my opinion. Every time I turn around, it seems like Devolver's got something good for me to grab. And if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and,
every time you turn around, brothers look you up and down. That's what I've heard.
They really do. They really do. But now Fall Guys, now a bunch of my friends immediately, because I'm of a certain age, and I'm like, I'm playing Fall Guys, and everybody's got to make the Fall Guy joke. If you know what that TV show is, once again, you're old. But Fall Guy.
You get blown up for Raquel Welch. Exactly.
That's right.
So I liked it a lot as well. And I think we should play together because
the play together
option is just, you know, you're basically just There's no like co-op, really. Not really.
No. I mean, you're just in the same pool that is of the 60s. So it just kind of tries to get you in at the same time. And I like that it was 60. For some reason, it feels like that's just the right number. This game is just really well balanced so far. I didn't feel too much griefing. I felt like I was having more fun than frustration. So I would recommend the one
problem I got right now is I got a bunch of cheaters on the PC side who are hacking it and doing weird hacks to it. So, in fact, let's see if this happens to you. We're going to find out. Okay, so far you're good. What will happen normally on an average game I'll play is immediately that qualified number up there will say 1 out of 44. Immediately when the match starts, which means somebody zoomed up there and cheated.
I did see that happen occasionally. I'm like, how did that one guy get there so fast?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like super fast.
Yeah, he cheated.
I didn't see that.
That's what he did. Yeah, cheated. So they banned a ton of people. They've got some other stuff they're doing to try to have less of that go on. So, as usual, you know, something this popular took off this quick. That's the other thing is it's a small developer doing a single game. You know, they weren't really their highest expectations for this have already been shattered multiple times. So people have really glommed onto it. It's like one of the most popular things on Twitch. Like it's impossible to ignore it. And pretty damned impressive for a little game like this.
So. I think Minions is probably the closer comparative I should have used with the character design. They're like a bunch of little...
They look like beans wobbly. To me, like little beans.
Yeah, a little like the beans, like the Minions from Minions.
Yeah, they're a bit Minion-y. Yeah. And they're all dumb and they just make dumb noises and... You know, these skins, like I'm going to get that full hot dog skin at some point. I don't know when, but
yeah, the hot dog skin is one of the ones I was working towards as well. A lot of costuming options in which like is fun to look at. It's real colorful. I'm sure if you have small kids, they'll be eating this up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, dude. If I was 10, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I'd still have that controller in my hand and I would be all sweaty and I wouldn't be eating. Right. This is all I would do. For real. This is how much fun it is. All right. Fall Guys. Yeah. Get it. Available everywhere except the Switch. Be a great Switch
except
game.
Except the Switch and Xbox, right? It's only on PlayStation and Steam, right?
That's right. That might actually be just a timed exclusive. But here's the cool thing.
Yeah.
I believe, I said this last week somewhere else, I think that game ends up on mobile, and here's why.
Yeah.
It would play great on mobile, by the way. Totally would.
Right.
Mobile games in this kind of with this sort of stuff, these elimination mode kind of games, are at an all-time popularity level. Mm-hmm. Forget about the Fortnite fight that's happening right now. Apple and everybody. But anyway,
like that's not happening. Look away.
But this game, you know what I hate worse in this world? There's very few things I hate worse than multi-billion dollar company slap fights. I hate them.
Oh, yeah.
Hate them. They want to make you think you're the reason they're doing it.
Yeah.
No, no. Don't fall for that. All right. Anyway, the point is.
We could have a whole show. About
we're never
how
gonna
mad
do that,
I am at Amazon and the HBO Max now crap, all that crap.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty messed up. I'm with you there. But anyway, the point is that quit taking sides with corporate wars. You're a sucker if you do. But anyway, here's the point. What was my point? My point was, put this on mobile. It would be huge on mobile. And it's actually pretty. Mm-hmm. I can see myself even using on-screen controls. No problem with this game. I think it would legit be a huge monster hit for them on mobile. I hope they do it.
Yeah, because mainly what you're doing, I mean, there's a little bit of grabbing, but mostly you're just directing your character to go in a particular direction and jump.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
just about. You played it when they still had real names above their heads. They don't currently let you do that. They took that out.
They don't
out.
Do that now?
Well, right now it says like player 520, whatever, like you can't.
Oh.
But they say they're putting it back in. So they just was some kind of weird, maybe it was part of the hacking problem. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Anyway, great game.
That's kind of like Les Miserables, right?
Yes, Les Miserables.
Yeah, you don't have a name. You just got a number.
Yeah, like Les Miserables. Yeah. That's the movie you're thinking.
Les Miserables.
Les the Miserables. Okay.
Yeah, the Fall Guy Miserables.
Yeah, the Fall Guy. You know the Fall Guy. He's been blown up by Farrah, got hit for Raquel Welch. And
I am a stunt man, and this is what we do. And for some reason, I solve crime because it's the 80s.
Because everyone had a job and solved crime in the 80s.
Right. What's your side hustle? Solving crime.
Dude, I'm telling you, we grew up in the best decade there is. We did.
Absolutely.
We straight up did. Okay, the next game on my list is a game that was a no-brainer. The minute I heard it was coming out, I knew I was going to get it because the first one was so influential for me as a gamer, but also it has been hugely influential as a game for other people making games like it. And that game is Rogue Legacy 2.
Ooh, I'm excited about this. I didn't know this was coming out until I didn't even see it was out until 2 days ago. Tell me all about it.
Well, they delayed it, so that sucked. But right now it's out. It's in early access, which I didn't think they were going to do, but they did. That's fine. It's pretty polished, so I'm not really having any big EA issues with it. EA is in early access. But anyway, it is the follow-up to the incredibly popular and dramatically well-received original game, which came out in 2010?
It's been 11? A
while. 11? Maybe that.
It's been that long?
It's about that old.
I knew it had been a while, but I didn't know it had been that long.
I had it on my freaking Vita. But the thing is, I had it on everything. I had it on my PC. Yeah. I had it on my Vita.
I did,
it on
too.
My 3DS, I think I had
it. I had
it
on my Ouya. What are you talking about?
Yeah, did the Ouya really have it? No, they didn't.
I can't remember. I think they did, actually.
They might have. Anyway, it was groundbreaking for this little subgenre we all hear about every day now and can't get enough of from some people are sick of them. But anyway, the roguelike sort of thing wasn't started by them, but it was really solidified by them. Like this was the game in that genre where you're like, oh, okay, this is how good these can be. And it really changed stuff. This is a follow-up to that. And also, if you if you owned it on Steam, they gave it to you for a big discount.
Maybe I do have that. Now, let me check. Look,
I don't think it wasn't free, but it was like 15 instead of 20 or something like that.
Are you going to say free-ish?
It was free. It was just it was a steep discount because I already own the original game or something like that. I can't remember. That's nice. I like when they do stuff like that.
I agree. That makes me happy.
So you die. Okay. So the core concept here that a lot of people already know about is in the first game and in this one, when you go do your fight and you die, you are dead. And what happens is one of your kids, one of your kids, takes over for you and you choose which one. And you might have three kids and one of them has IBS. The other one is nostalgic. The other one's really short. And so you're like, well, I'm going to go with the IBS guy because he just farts a lot. No big deal.
Right.
The other two, the nostalgic one, everything looks like sepia tone or like old movie footage the whole time. And it's a little disorienting. So maybe you don't want him. The guy that has vertigo, you never want him because the whole world's upside down. It gives you all these things that seem like either they're not always detriments. Sometimes they're awesome. Like if you're small, you can get into places that the bigger guys can never get into. Just cool stuff like that. The first game had all that. This has that. So if you want to take your daughter who's a colorblind gay archer, go for it. That's no problem. That's who you play.
But how will she see the rainbow flag?
Well, she just won't. Then she goes out and fights, and then when she dies,
like it's a zebra.
She dies. Now she's got three heirs that you now choose, and they have their own genetic weirdness, or sometimes they're just straight up like nothing, no genetic differences at all. It's just like, oh, well, this person doesn't have anything. He just has a lot of health and has got a sword. Okay, cool. We'll just use him or whatever. But some of the others may have benefits and bonuses to the quote unquote problems they have, quote unquote superpowers they have, if you want to call them that, whatever it is. Like, you might get more gold with this run, or because this person has nearsightedness, it's hard to see far away enemies, but if you kill anybody at range, you get double the gold because it's harder for you because you're nearsighted. It's a lot of weird combinations like that. This game's got all of that. Again, these are all still kind of unique things. Not other games have not really done a great job of replicating that. So I feel like they've still sort of owned some of that space. Here's the problem. It's very good. It's polished. I think the new art style is awesome. The animations and the spell effects and some of the like environmental stuff, way better than it used to be in the old game. Used to be.
I'm going
to
finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Way better.
Way than better it used to than later be. Down the road.
Yeah. Right.
I think it looked painterly and just cool. I really like the
Orco.
Yeah, there's Orcos. Yeah, they were in the first game too. They suck.
Yeah.
They fire a lot of fire on you, and they don't say, well, hey, man, I freaking just lost my penis.
Hey, man.
Anyway, it's hard. You know, like you expect from a game like this, there's a high difficulty level, but that's the fun of getting better and beating it and getting more attributes that help you and so on. Here's the problem. I only have one problem with it.
Give me it.
And it's a bummer because the game that's giving me the problem with it wouldn't exist without Rogue Legacy 1.
Oh, interesting.
And that
so
game,
you've been spoiled.
Yeah, that game. It's a combination, actually. You could say Dead Cells also ruined me on this, but
right.
Dead Cells, which owes a lot to this game or to this series, but even more than that, Fury Unleashed, which is arguably
yes, we both love that game this year.
It doesn't fantastic. Look as good. It doesn't have as big a team or as long a history or any of the cachet that the name Rogue Legacy has.
Right,
but I just think it plays better. So every time I'm playing this, I'm like, oh, I wish this moved like Rogue Legacy or like, Fury Unleashed moves, because Fury Unleashed is just so satisfying. The combat is so much fun. And it's not that it's not fun here. It is. It's a good game. It may even be after early access, a great game, but so much has come since then based on the great work they did here that it's impossible for them not to be compared to games like Dead Cells, compared to games like Fury Unleashed and these different kinds of games. Like, I feel a little bad.
And then whoever's
bad.
Playing this, was this you? Because
no,
geez.
This is somebody else. He did all right. That wasn't me. But it's always,
you get to make sure.
It's always random. The improvement system is pretty much the same. There's more to it, but it's kind of a similar structure. You're building this castle and the castle has wings to it. And one of the wings is a blacksmith. So now he gives you buffs and, if you want to play the wizard.
I thought it was a flying castle.
No.
I thought you just, but you meant like areas of the
areas
castle.
Of the castle, wings. Exactly. But it's just this, 2D castle. It's no big deal.
Right. I thought it was flying. That would have been cool.
When you choose like, you want to be the wizard, you have to unlock him and it costs a bunch of gold and stuff to do that. And so you're always trying to earn gold and bring it back. And any gold that you don't spend, once you've come back, you lose it before you go to your next run. So there's like, These things are immediately going to sound familiar to anyone who played Rogue Legacy 1. It's all there. Then some new stuff. And in the end, whether it will be enough to blow me away so that all those that have come after them don't look as good, because Dead Cells really killed it and the Fury Unleashed is amazing. Yeah. And these are better versions of Rogue Legacy. Can Rogue Legacy 2 top that? Maybe, but it's early, so we'll see. I don't know.
Right. So and it'd be different if there was like, some kind of endearing character that you had to have. But the whole name of this game is not to have an endearing character that's universally known.
Yeah, you're supposed to just kind of keep going. Right. Midget Wookie in the chat room says, is Fury Unleashed Switch only? No, Fury Unleashed is on everything. And I have it on PC. I got it on Switch. Mm-hmm. Those are cool developers. Those guys are really nice.
It is so fun.
Love that game. There's a flow to that game that is.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I can't. It's so funny because you and I talked about this, but the art style in Fury Unleashed isn't my favorite thing on the planet.
Right.
But once you get into it, you realize, this is like butter. I'm playing butter here. This feels so good. There's so much rhythm to it. And I don't know.
The rhythm is the most important part to me. That just made that game for
You got
to
feel the rhythm of the night. Okay,
the rhythm of the night.
That's exactly right. All right, anyway, it's currently $17.99, 10% off. It's one of those early access get it for cheaper now deal kind of things.
Looked and I must have missed any kind of unless it says it when I actually check out, because I'm only seeing the 10% off, and I do have the original Rogue Legacy on Steam, so I'm not sure if it won't show
if you do that,
I'm gonna check out
do that when you check out, you'll only pay $15.
Okay. Well, then I might have to do that.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I'm really happy they did that for fans. I think that's cool. All right. Available now. Where are we now? Oh, that's made and published by Cellar Door Games. I should mention that.
Oh, yes.
Brian, tell us all about Live Lock.
Now, we received a notification on this show that 2016's Live Lock was something that me and Scott and I would like to play. And I believe it was Strawburbs who told us that. Yep. Is that correct?
I think so. Does that sound
right?
I
believe it is. And I must say, mission accomplished. I like Live Lock a lot. Top-down cooperative shooter. got a little bit of a dual stick action kind of a feel to it.
More melee than shooter, I found, but that was, maybe that's just the character I played. I'm not sure.
Yeah, when you start out, you start out with the brawler type character, which is okay. So there's three different classes, and it's all built on what are called chassis. It is the future in your top down shooter. By the way, if you didn't skip through the long but convoluted story at the beginning, you should have. Because I did too. Well, that's a lie. I went through it twice because I was like, let me make sure I got all that, because it is. Wow. There's a lot going on. First of all, it's like, oh, there's a disaster coming. There's cataclysm coming. And it's like, we gotta pick our heroes. And so we got to transfer, some consciousness, some intellect into these mechanical beings. And so that's where it starts. And then you kind of follow that, and all of a sudden it goes into all kinds of stuff. The cataclysm happens anyway, and there's some kind of uprising, and humanity's doomed, and then you lose, and then you have to come back. So this is like part six. It's where you start at.
Yeah.
So this is like A New Hope or something.
A little bit.
Is where you're actually starting at. Yeah. And so you show up in your little chassis. And I think you start off with the brawler, at least where I started at anyway. I'm not sure if the game forces you to do that, but
yeah, I can't remember. I might have been able to choose. I'm not sure.
I can't remember now either, because I picked my lane and I kind of just went with it. So most of your fights are going to be going along and just trying to make it to an area where you'll have to battle a boss or some huge horde fight. Where you just have, and that's what you're watching right now. You're watching me take on the horde. Yep. I am defending my area. I am my hound, I believe. I believe this is where the hound is, or maybe I'm incorrect. There is a intelligence that is in orbit that is guiding your path as this character who has returned from the dead, and you're trying to resurrect humanity. If I got the story correct,
I think that's right. Yeah.
Right. Something like that. So really not important, because it's really the game loop that's fun. And you're right. If you pick this guy, you're probably going to feel mostly like a tank, and you're going to be doing a lot of melee. But you do pick up weapons as you go along that give you a little bit of range according to which chassis you pick. And I had trouble, and I'm just going to sidetrack for just 1 second. It's really not related to Live Lock, but it is related to gaming on the PC. And it's a problem I've had for the last, I don't know, month or so. I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but my controller, I have an Xbox One controller, which I use with my PC. This is a controller-based game, LiveLock is. And for some reason, occasionally my controller will be set as controller 2 for no reason whatsoever. There's no controller on controller 1. And then certain games have trouble with that because Windows has registered it as controller 2. And this game had a problem with that, in that all the other things functioned except for my triggers. So when I got, so how you shoot, there's a fire, and then it's an alternate fire on most of these weapons. And my alternate fire was never working, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, am I not doing something right? And so after about 30 minutes of playing, I finally dropped out and figured out that, once again, my controller has set to controller 2, and disconnect it, forget the Bluetooth, and restart.
Weird.
You experiencing that any?
No, I didn't have that at all. No problem.
I've had it happen several times in the last month, but that's not LiveLock's fault.
No. That sounds like you got a system thing going.
Yeah, and it's not just me. I've looked around. It is a problem that is out there a lot. By the way,
I'm wired. That might be why I don't experience it. I have a wired controller.
I usually do Bluetooth.
I hate it. Drives me crazy.
I love hate it.
I love the idea of it, but I don't think it works enough of the time. And there's enough perceivable lag for me that I'm just like, I'm just going to wire this on my PC. Like, I don't know, a wired controller on a PC, very satisfying. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And see, this is not exactly, you know, in some games I definitely would. Like, if I'm playing a first person shooter that's online with other people, you better believe I'm plugged in. But here, you know, most of us, these dumb hordes, and they're, you know, I can have just a little bit of lag and still be fine, because I'm just mostly spamming, you know, my controller the entire time. I just get near the enemy and just start spamming the crap out of the controller.
Yeah.
But this game is beautiful. It looks great, especially for something from 2016. Is Took Games is the developer and published by Perfect World. I picked this up on the PS4. Is that correct? I wrote it down as that. I don't remember. I thought I had it on the... No, I definitely didn't have this on the PS4. I wrote down PS4, but I actually played this on from Steam. So
yeah, that's where I've got it.
And I got you a copy and myself a copy, yep. And because Strawburbs let us know that it was on sale, and it actually went up to $10, which I think is its current price on Steam, and I was able to pick it up off Fanatical for a cheap price of $2.50.
Jeez, that's great.
You are welcome. I picked myself up one, and I said, well, I might as well get Scott one while I'm here.
$2. I would say that's great. That's great to hear, because I was feeling guilty that you bought it at all.
No, I'm not spending $10. That's like two cups of coffee. Are you crazy?
Forget it.
It looks like
I could be wrong. Lock. Pretty sure this uses Unreal Engine 4 or something close to it.
I think you are correct. Yeah. It definitely still looks good. Like I said, 2016. You're progressing through XP as well as you go along. You'll also unlock weapons for your characters to change the play just a little bit. Yep. It's just a really fun game loop. Yep. I mean, there's nothing too overly complex about this game, and it weighs in, according to how long to beat, at around 7 hours. So $10 is about right for what you'd expect.
That's not bad.
Or even better, $2.50.
Yeah. If you look at it in arcade numbers, that's pretty cheap to play a game that long.
Yeah.
So you have to do is you got to think of it that way. Real quick, I did want to mention I beat Sleeping Dogs. I know I talked about it last week.
Ooh.
I beat it. I loved it. That game, even though that's like 2012 now for its original release, I think the 2015 release on PC was their definitive edition. But anyway, I didn't play the DLC yet, but I loved that main campaign, and it's old but great, and I highly recommend it. Told you about Luigi's Mansion. I am also trying to, and Sleeping Dogs put me in the mood for this, I am going back to 2015's Mad Max open world game that was not based on the movie, but came out with the movie or around the same time, as to take advantage of the fact that the movie was coming out. And anyway, I loved it then and I love it now, and I'm going to 100% that thing. And I forgot.
I might have to like at least peek in on you, because I never played it at all. However, it seems like it was either on my Humble Bundle, or was it possibly on PlayStation Plus at one point in time, which it should still be in my library, because I would have collected it. So I think that's where it's at.
Pretty sure it's there. If not, it goes on sale all the time for disgustingly cheap price. Like, I want to say it's listed for 40, but it goes down to like 10 during sales and stuff. Right. $5 maybe sometimes. Anyway, I loved it. I still love it. I think it's, by the way, still looks good, still plays good. Some people just aren't going to like the bleak setting, and that's why I think it struggled to find a big enough audience to justify a sequel and some other stuff. But the gameplay is great, and I love the setting, so that's not a problem. That was never a problem for me. I think I'm going to 100%. I'm going to go all the way through it and get everything.
Do it.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It's cathartic for me for some reason, weirdly. And Brian, you also, let's see, what else did you do? You did a little bit of, you tried Hyperscape. Just tell me how that is so far.
So I figured as long as I was firing up my PlayStation Pro, I might as well download the free-to-play Hyperscape Ubisoft game they just released, a first-person shooter battle royale. And beta, it's got a heavy focus.
Still beta,
I believe. And it is, I love what I played. I didn't play a lot of it, but I have jumped in, and my favorite thing has to be the weapon progression and the weapon modification, and the two different powers that you get. I played this completely with controller, and PS4, of course. And you can choose between several powers. You can choose between two powers at a time. And some of those powers are stuff like you can all of a sudden turn into a big giant ball and bounce around on the screen in the battle royale. So it's a great way to just like all of a sudden, if you need to escape, if you're in a really hairy situation and you need to get off, you get out of there, you can do it. You can do it. So Hyperscape, like I said, is I love the weapons they have so far. And the weapons progression is very simple. If you have a particular weapon and then you come across that weapon again, you can merge it together and it goes up a level. So it just increases. So if you run across the same weapon again, it's not just like, oh, there's that same stupid weapon again. You actually increase the power of that particular weapon.
Yeah.
And, I like how it's, I like the balance of it. I liked everything I was seeing. I like how the world, you know, in a lot of these battle royales is kind of like this weird disconnect where it's like, why am I having to go further and further in, and getting squeezed in? Sometimes the story doesn't seem, you know, the excuse doesn't seem very fluid. This seems very nice. Everything's just deteriorating on the outside. And it's like, it just disappears slowly and deteriorates and you have to get out of the area. And you don't have like no immediate effect. We're like going, ooh.
I think that's, that's why I liked, there was a, like a, what was it called? It was basically like a futuristic post-apocalyptic, almost Mad Max kind of car combat thing where you could get out and shoot each other. I don't remember the name of it. And I don't know if it's still going or not. It was on PC and I was very early on the alpha or beta, but the way that they justified it is that there was this giant storm and it was always moving closer into the center of town, like a giant dust storm. And so it always, when you would look up and around, there was always this huge billowing, just gigantic seismic storm that was always just on the edge of things and always moving in to create the circle. And I liked feeling like that had more meaning to it than just, it's green there and it's not here. So be where it is green. Like,
you got to have a reason. It's kind of like my complaint about in video games where you have the fake hurry up. I mean, don't have characters yelling at me to hurry up if there's no actual penalty for hurrying up.
Right.
You know, it's like if you're going to have characters all around me going, hurry up, there better be a darn penalty for that hurry up.
A darn one, you're saying.
A darn. There's two things I didn't mention on LiveLock, by the way. Just turn back around just for half a second.
Yeah.
By the way, it's three-player co-op. You can play single or you can play up to three players.
Okay.
As well as the only penalty, this is what made me think about it, the only penalty you really have for losing is you drop again. So, I mean, they just drop your character again. I don't really, I'm like, that's not much of a penalty, really. I mean, I like to be punished when I fail.
Yeah. Oh, I found it. I found it. Sorry. The name of that game is Fractured Lands.
No, Fractured Lands. I do remember
that. Fractured Lands. And it's got that, like I said, that really cool storm mechanic. And it looks like legit. I really wish this game luck because I don't know. I feel like it got so overshadowed. It's a small team. But they're making a game. I in theory, this is all I want to do.
Right.
Because you got a car. There's car combat. There's on the ground gun combat. There's all the stuff you want out of a battle royale, plus the cars, and the cars are all beefy, like Mad Max looking jalopies and, you know, big sick engines and fire flying out the back of them. And they're all rusted to shit and back.
Yeah. People on it, like going to town on a guitar. Like that.
I guess maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
All right. I was just curious.
All right. What else we got today? Oh, you know what we got? We got this. Time to play Guess Our Game. This is where we play audio from an old game and we try to guess what it is. I'm going to start. Brian, you're going to have to guess this. You have no idea what I'm going to play, so I'm going to play it and see if you can figure it out. The only hint I will give you is early to mid-90s PC. That's it. That's all you get.
All right. That's old school.
Yeah, so enjoy the MIDI you're about to hear. I'm going to get some MIDI going on here.
Wow, this is every game.
Now listen to this part.
Oh, I know that.
Warning.
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 UFO detected.
What is this?
Dee, 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 dee.
I have definitely played this game.
Have you played this? PC
I'm
game.
Almost positive. I have at least had a, have heard it before. I mean, everything that's playing is it sounds like stuff I've played.
Well, let me give you another hint.
Are there aliens involved?
Yes. So that UFO part's probably a good giveaway.
Right.
It is. I'll say this: there are two plus, well, now three games that are modern that are based on this series. So
okay.
So there's new stuff that you can play that's directly based on this series, and it was very popular, very hard, PC series.
Interesting. I've either. This is definitely a familiar one.
Well, I'm going to tell you so I can put you out of your.
You're going to have to give it to me because I'm going to have to kick myself for not knowing it.
It is XCOM UFO
is
Defense.
It really? I didn't think there was any way it could be XCOM.
Yep, it was XCOM UFO Defense. It is. That game was not called that here. Oh, it's very old. And let's see. It was originally titled UFO Enemy Unknown. But that was in Europe. That was in Europe. Let's see. Right. Mythos made it. Microprose is the publisher.
I thought it was Enemy Unknown here too, though. Was it not? Or was that one?
No, that's a newer one.
Series.
There's a newer one called XCOM Enemy Unknown, which is the first reboot of the game in, 2013, 14, whatever it was.
Right, right.
So they had some funny naming conventions that they've used, but it was in Europe called UFO Enemy Unknown. There was no XCOM in there. It was renamed XCOM in the US, or in the US the game had a different name. Mm-hmm. A little like they used to do, you see in Japan, like it'll have a different name.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know we ever did that with Europe where we changed our names, but anyway.
Why would you? What would be the purpose?
I know, it's weird.
I mean, we generally speak the same language.
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking.
Did it sound too juvenile, possibly?
Possibly. It's 90.
UFO? Probably somebody already had the copyright in the States.
Probably. Also, UFO is pretty ubiquitous as a term. XCOM also sounds like 90s or 1994 rad, it's got an edge to it. Let's see. This came out on MS-DOS, Amigas, the CD32, the PlayStation, and Windows. PlayStation version won't come out for a couple of years, but anyway, there you go. And Firaxis, the game that were the XCOM Enemy Unknown, was created by Firaxis Games and published by 2K Games in 2012. And then XCOM 2, which came out just a few years ago, is amazing. That's an amazing game.
Well, I swear, I definitely knew those sounds. I've heard those sounds many times.
The intro art is unbelievably cheesy. It's so good.
Oh, good.
So good. All right. Brian, I'm going to play yours. Let's see if we can figure out.
The year is 2008.
Oh.
So it's a little more recent, but it's still 12 years old.
All right.
Well, not quite. Almost. 11 and some.
Yeah. So let's see what we got.
This on my PlayStation Portable.
PlayStation, PSP?
Yeah.
Is this... Oh, Loco Roco.
There you go.
Is
which one,
it?
Though?
Oh, I don't know. I'd only played the first one. Is this the
part
first
two.
One? This is part two?
Part two. I'll give you credit.
Okay. But you'll give me...
I'll deduct a few points for not being the sequel.
I'll have...
Because they pretty much were the same.
Yeah, weren't they kind of the same game, those two games? And they were
pretty close.
P exclusives? Or was there a PlayStation 3 game?
They released it later on the PlayStation 4. But I think originally it was just for the PSP. And this was a big seller for me between Patapon and this game was one of the main reasons why I wanted a PSP, because I didn't really want to play all first person shooters and stuff. I just feel like the screen was, I didn't feel like it was big enough or exciting enough, but these kind of games, I was like, yeah. So I really, what I wanted was the Switch.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. That's interesting. So, okay. Originally released in 2006 in the EU, Japan 06, and here in 06 on the, so that's, it's all 06 for the PSP.
Right. For the original. Now, Loco Roco 2 came out a couple years later.
Right. Yeah, but then Java ME, they had a version for, what's Java ME?
Did they really?
Microsoft Edition? I don't know.
Microsoft's OS for ME, is that what they're talking about?
I have no idea what that is. Java me, whatever that is. There's some Java programmers are going to hear this and go, you guys are dumb. Here's what it is. And then PlayStation 4, you're right. That happened many years later as like a reboot or like a little combo. They got both 1 and 2 in there. Yeah, this was a big deal for the PSP. This was a big deal at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it because you could tilt it and there was actually like sensors in there for all of that. This was, like I said, it was just us waiting for the Switch. We just didn't know what was coming.
Did the PSP, so the PSP had some gyroscope stuff? I forgot about that.
I believe it did. Yeah, I'm almost 100% sure because I remember I had to do a lot of, especially Patapon.
Well, I know that, what's your name's had it? I knew that the Vita had that, but I couldn't remember the PSP. Did it have like, let's see, PSP, what's it called? What do you call that? Not rotoscoping. What's it called?
Gyro sensing?
Gyro sensor.
Am I remembering it incorrectly? I don't know. I don't think so, though.
Well, I'm going to find out because I'm curious. Gyro sensors, how they work. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to know that.
Blah, 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 blah. Here's a 12-page document on how gyro sensors work.
Well, it's confirmed on the Vita. I knew that, though, but I can't find it for the PSP.
Maybe, I had the Vita, too, so maybe I'm thinking of the Vita later on. Maybe. I can't remember, but I'm almost positive it was on the
It could have been just left to right, like single access rotation.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's something possible.
Like that. I mean, it wasn't much,
Accelerometer, that's it. That's what I meant.
Accelerometer.
Damn it. Yeah. I just pulled my headphones down so hard it hurt my head.
All right. Oh, I hate when I do that.
Annoying.
You know what I used to also love the first time was it the first time I had seen it on any hand or any machine for that matter. Was it the which Game Boy was it that allowed you to blow on the screen and it would detect it?
Oh, that
do you remember that?
Oh.
Because it was like some sporting games we had for at one point in time. And I was like, 3DS,
I think the 3DS let you blow.
Was it wasn't, it wasn't that late. But I think the chat room is saying the DS maybe.
Let's see. Game Assume. Nintendo.
Game Boy Terror Reed. Stop Obsidian.
Blow. So hold on. Blow mechanic. Okay, we're going to look this
mechanic.
Up.
Blow mechanic. Blowing as a controller.
Never blow your mechanic is what we're saying. Okay, damaged Nintendo cartridge. No. Yeah, blow.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be because they're blowing Nintendo. You're going to definitely run into the cartridge for that.
I can't find it for sure, but something's real familiar about my DS doing this.
Yeah.
And there was a mic, and you could blow into that mic, and you needed
to. Was it a mic? All I know is I would blow at the screen, and it would pick it up. So maybe it was just
it was a mic
audio.
It was definitely the mic.
Okay. See, they fooled me because I thought I was actually doing something. I thought it was like heat sensors in there or something. What is?
Yeah. Also, they're right in the chat. Be careful if you look up Nintendo blow mechanic. Jeez, it's dangerous. All right. Well done. That was great. Old games are fun. Now this.
Great.
No, nope, wrong thing. Here it is. Okay, found it. We are going to read a couple emails. A couple of quick ones here. Thomas from Missouri wrote in.
Oh, hi,
Missouri.
Thomas.
Says, hey, Scott and Brian, I was just wondering, with all the hype that is around Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys think it will be a game changer like Half-Life or a dud like Watch Dogs? I'm really hoping that it does, that it's great, as a lot of people think it will be, and worth all the delays it has gone through. But I'm also worried it can't live up to the hype in the same way that Watch Dogs couldn't. What do you think? Love the show, Thomas. Here's the thing, Thomas. Mm-hmm. This is the company what made the Witcher series, and it is not a good comparison to say Watch Dogs. I would say that this is more going to be compared against their previous effort, which was The Witcher 3, one of the greatest games ever made. So, obviously, they're very
their
different
attention
settings.
To detail is just phenomenal.
It's through the roof. I have high expectations for it. I think it's going to be great. I don't think it's going to be a dud, but will it live up to every single person's expectations? Probably not. I mean, what game does? Name a game that does that.
It's going to be interesting to see what the sales are like because of everything that's going on in the world today and such a weird release schedule and everything else. So I am curious how that's going to affect it, but I don't think it's going to be critically a dud.
Well, okay. And that's an important distinction because he mentioned Watch Dogs as if it was a dud. By what metric are you measuring that? Because Watch Dogs sold tens of millions of copies, spawned two sequels, one of which is still coming, and people are pretty anticipatory of that thing. Like, it may not have been the critical darling everybody had hoped it would be, but Watch Dogs sold, man. That thing did well. Yeah. So, you know, are we... It depends on what you're comparing all this against. I think that Watch Dogs is probably not a great comparison.
But a good question.
Yeah.
Excellent question.
I don't think... If your question is... Can Cyberpunk live up to the hype? Well, I don't know. What's your hype level? Everyone's got a different hype level, so I don't know.
If you're going, yes, I can't wait.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's going to be great, though. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm very excited. But like we've talked in the past this year, all my expectations that I've had for any game this year, it just went out the window. I'm like, when it gets here, it gets here. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. It's been a really rough year just for expectations.
Yeah, it's probably okay to have that attitude, I think. I think you've got a good one there.
It's the only thing I can do.
KP says, isn't that cleaning duty in the Army or something? KP duty? What does that stand for?
KP duty. Yeah, you got to do the KP duty. I don't think so. Is that?
KP. You're on KP tonight, they'd say on MASH. You're doing KP.
Yeah. But I didn't think that was latrine duty. I thought that was, or is it? I don't know.
No, I think it's kitchen duty, right?
Oh, kitchen duty. Okay, that makes more sense.
Like KP's probably kitchen pubis. I don't know what it means.
Kitchen puking. kitchen preparation. Probably kitchen.
Maybe prep. Kitchen prep. That might be. Oh, kitchen patrol, says Wabbit Magic. Okay.
What are you patrolling? Making sure the rats don't get away?
Well, you know. They want to feel cool about the crappy position they got put in that night. You know what I mean?
Now, who did you say was always getting KP? Did you say it was Klinger?
It was Klinger's getting KP. He always put, Klinger.
Oh, that's right. Because he always wear the hairnet, right?
Yeah.
He was always in there.
Yeah, so he was always in there on KP duty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, KP wrote in. Has nothing to do with any of this. Says, hey, Scott, been a fan for over a decade, got on TMS once. Just passing this on, FYI, I thought it might be interesting for Boop. My friend's VR game was released on Steam. It is called Airborne, and it's a bit like the Iron Man VR experience, but amazingly without motion sickness. It's available if you just search for Airborne on Steam, you'll find it. Says, I know you're super busy, but hey, if you have some time, you might enjoy it. Always much love and best wishes to Kim and the family. Yeah, dude. Love to let people know about stuff, especially if it's someone you know. No problem at all. So go check it out, you guys. Airborne. It's actually been up there for a bit. I got to his email a little late. It just got lost in the shuffle. But so this is about a month ago. It went live.
I'm actually interested in this. You know, I've just recently got the Oculus Quest, and I still have my other things. I got my Link cable.
Oh, yeah.
So I might have to check this out. The most interesting part of this is every Steam game gets an app number, and their app number is 1010100.
Whoa.
Like, that's fortuitous. That's one of the easiest ones I've seen to remember.
That's 10-10-100. Yeah. Oh, look at this. This looks like fun, dude. I'm watching the video here. This looks great. Oh, yeah. This looks awesome.
Are you showing it on the camera? How am I supposed to see it if you're not showing it to us?
You can go look it up. Go look it up on Steam. It's Airborne, and nothing to do with the stuff you take to try not to have a cold when you're on the airplane or whatever. Not that.
You mean seltzer, vitamin C?
Yeah, you don't want that. That stuff doesn't do shit. But this game looks like it'd be a lot of fun. And let's see, I'm just checking this out. There's a lot of good reviews here. People like it. And it's only $12.99. You know what's not cheap on Steam are Steam games. So $12.99 is a good deal.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like you're just flying around with gloves. I dig that. That's
and you're
cool.
Shooting stuff. You're like flying, and then you pull out your weapons and blow stuff up.
Yeah. This looks is up my alley. Is it on the Oculus Store too, or just this?
I think just this, but if you got your Link cable, you can play it. So you'll be good. All right. Excellent recommendation. Thanks for that. If you or anyone you know out there is making a game and you want to talk about it on the show, we'd love to bring it up. Send your emails to boopshow@gmail.com. That is beep. Beep.
That is, that is beep. Beep.
Beep. Send them to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. You can also find it on the website at frogpants.com/boop. And we love to hear from you there as well. All right, Brian, before we go, anything you want to say to the people before we leave? Any words?
Beep.
Beep. That's it. You just want to say beep.
That's all I got, because that just I'm hung up on that. But yeah, if you like watching The Legend of Zelda, I am trying to get towards the end game of Legend of Zelda. Oh my god, it came with them. Beep. Legend of Zelda. Beep. Tune in Thursdays as I play.
I love it. Welcome to the Beep Show, everybody. It could have been beep. It probably was almost beep, to be honest.
Yeah, probably was.
Anyway, do check that out. I stream a lot over there at Frog Pants as well on Twitch, twitch.tv/frogpants. So you can check that out. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.